are recording, so anytime you're ready.
Okay. Well, can I take this off if we're at this distance?
Yeah, because we're more than 6 feet apart.
Okay. Okay. Good evening. Chapter 5. We're going to go ahead and start. This is the time and place for the November 18, 5 p.m. Land Use Appeal Authority meeting. I'm looking at the notice and agenda. Looks like the first matter in the on the agenda is case number N20-02521, Lido Enterprises, and Robert Carlos. Is anybody here on that matter?
I am Robert Carlos.
Okay. I conduct these hearings very informally. I'll give you the opportunity to say anything you'd like at any point, basically. Typically, we'll start out and let the city explain what the violation is and what they recommend. That can either be Kurt or Sherry.
I'll start, and then I'll let Kurt tell you his investigation. So, essentially, the property is owned by Lido Enterprise, and it's the location of Summit Auto Group, a car dealership. The property was cited on November 5th of 2020 after a complaint by neighbors regarding the installation of some intrusive light source that was shining into the roadway and directed to their homes across the street. There's the Newtown Home Development. The property owner was contacted by the code enforcement officer and had indicated that the light would be And they had indicated that the light would be removed or replaced or redirected to be in compliance. To this date, the owner has not contacted the city for an inspection of any corrective action they may have taken. The code that is in violation is 10-6-12, lighting. Lighting that is used to illuminate parking lot must be arranged to reflect the light away from adjoining residential premises and from street traffic. Location and type of the lighting is subject to review by the Planning Commission if they'd go through a site plan review process or need to go through a site plan review process. So the city is requesting an administrative code enforcement order per our section ordering the abatement of the light and imposing a civil fine as the judge feels necessary. I have some of the pictures from the case file uploaded that I'm happy to show as Kurt gives you more information. And if we could ask the other gentleman here to sign the sign-in sheet. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, I think I'll refer to, is it Mr. Carlos?
Yes.
So are you the tenant at the property?
I am, yes.
Okay. And there's someone else here with you on matter?
I'm Doyle Johnson. I work with Robert.
Oh, okay. Okay, but you both represent then the tenant. And what's the name of the tenant? Is it you individually or is it a company?
It's Summit Automotive Group.
Summit Automotive.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you understand the violation that's been you've been charged with?
Yeah.
Okay. You're probably, with the mask and everything, you're probably going to have to lean forward and be real close to that
mic. I'll take it off.
Okay. Do you have any response you'd like to present?
I just feel like the lights have always been there. The light that we put up was, there used to be two lights. They were like 300 watts. So we replaced it with 150 watt LED just to be more efficient. The light, I pointed it down as far as I can. I've drove up and down the street to see, you know, how bad the light is after I had pointed it down. I did notice that the Sinclair just on the corner here has the lights that are super bright, and they literally illuminate the side of the apartment complex that's on the other side of the road. Also, the gas station on the corner here, lights are pretty bright, and they illuminate the road as well. After I turned my light down, it's not illuminating the road. It's just illuminating the parking lot, and the light is there for security reasons. I mean, we were getting hit almost every day, it seems like, at the lot.
Before we put the light up and the cameras 6 months ago, before the building got put in, is when we put that light in. And we put it down facing, so if the building sits above the street level about 10 feet, if I had to guess. So if you're parked and you're taking a picture, in that last picture she just showed, you can see that it's facing down. So it faces down the street or down the parking lot. And I'm sure that the complaints you're getting are probably from the new condos across the street on the main floor. To put it down any further, we can't see what's going on out the front of the lot, which the cars have been getting broken into and tagged. So we're trying to figure out what's a happy medium there.
So when did you install this light? You said 6 months ago?
Probably over 6 months ago.
Okay. And that's when you changed it to the new LEDs, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So have you said I angled it down. Have
it's
you
completely
changed?
Down. It's as far as down as it'll go. It's
have you
flat.
When did you make that change?
Or 3 or 4 months ago, I thought.
No. It was after.
You didn't make that change subsequent to this notice of violation?
I did, yes.
Okay, this notice of violation is dated 10/29, so October 29, just 2 weeks ago.
So
have you changed the angle of those lights since then?
I did. I changed it down. He had visited with me, and we had discussed the light. I angled it down, but then I got two notices for the hearing. So, I mean, I didn't know that they wanted me to respond to anything. I just got the notice.
Okay. So subsequent to the notice, you changed the angle.
It was before the notice that I changed
the angle.
Okay,
it was before the notice. Okay. All right, I'll turn back over to the city. Anything you want to present?
Yes, I did talk with Robert exactly as he represented. Things here are accurate. Furthermore, I've been in constant contact, or I should say continual contact, with the complainant in this case, who even as of today said for the past 2 weeks, this light has continually washed out his security camera on his house, as well as shines in the windows of his residence. I went there at the location early morning hours before 4 a.m. It was about 4 a.m. and took pictures of the light. You can see, if you'll back up, this is the light not illuminated forward. This is the light illuminated. These type of lights are good for what they're designed to do, which is spread light everywhere. There are lights that can be designed that have a downward cast of the illumination. This is what I believe the city would like to see happen with this business. It does two things. Number one, it gives Robert the security lighting he desires, and it complies with not casting light into the apartment of other people. I have contacted the complainant as recent as 4 o'clock today, and he is more than willing to come over and testify in this case if necessary.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like you've disputed anything that's been presented, have you?
No.
Okay. Well, it looks to me like I've reviewed the statute. I've reviewed everything that's been presented. You were given a copy of the notice of violation. You received all that.
Yes.
Just to confirm. Okay. I'll go ahead and rule. It looks to me like the light that has been installed is in violation of the code. The code says, and it's in the notice you got, shall be arranged to reflect the light away from adjoining residential premises and from street traffic. So apparently it does light up your lot, and apparently it has reduced the amount of crime, and I hope that maintains, that is the case and stays the case. But it needs to be arranged to reflect light away from the adjoining residential premises and from street traffic. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and rule that you are in violation of the code. They asked for a $500 penalty. I'm going to reduce that to $200 penalty. That will be waived upon your proof of compliance with the code. So you will be ordered to comply with the code, and Mr. Imig will be the code enforcement officer, and he'll come out and make a determination of whether or not whatever you do to your lighting complies with that. They've requested, the city has requested in their motion or proposed order, if remediation does not occur by December 1, the city will renotice the matter. So I will order you to comply by December 1. If you do that, the penalty will be waived. If you don't do it by December 1, the penalty will remain in place, and you'll be liable for that penalty. And then there will be a potential for additional citations and penalties. I don't know that a citation is necessary, but the city can renew this matter and bring it in and ask for additional penalties. So I'm going to order you to comply with the statute and a $200 waivable fee by December 1. Do you understand what I've ruled?
Yes.
Okay. Any response, any comment? I give people the opportunity to make comments.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. Is that clear, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. This matter is closed. We'll move on to the next matter. We'll call the matter of case number N20-02635, Brian Bone at 613 Scenic Hills Drive.
If you two would sign the sign-in sheet when you sit down, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, and so who is here on behalf of on this next matter?
Hi,
I'm Brian Bone. My wife, Amy.
So Brian Bone and Amy Bone, is that right? Is it Bone? Did I say it?
B-O-N-E.
By saying it correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I will invite Sherry to call the matter and present the violation.
Trouble getting my memo. But. Okay, so the property in question is at 613 Scenic Hills Drive. The property was cited on October 28th, 2020, after numerous complaints by neighbors regarding the operation of a short-term rental business and a reception center in a single-family home in a residential zone. Mr. Imeg investigated the business operations at the home and confirmed with the owner's wife verbally that they were renting the home on Airbnb and for wedding receptions or other large gatherings or events. During these large gatherings and receptions, we've received complaints that there's been a parking problem and a disruption to the neighborhood. The complaints that were shared in evidence of the operation was shown on the internet website. Mr. Imeg visited the premises on several occasions. He spoke with several attendees at a wedding event and also interviewed the cleaning person that is employed by Mr. Bone. The individuals confirmed that the property was being rented as a short-term rental and for events and receptions. Several telephone conversations were exchanged between Mr. Imeg, myself, and Ms. Mackenzie Bennett of my office. We are all employees of the city. And both in many of those calls, Brian and Amy both confirmed that they do live in Draper and not at the home. The home is listed with the Davis County Assessor Office as a secondary home and not a primary residence. And then based upon our conversations, after the citation and notice of hearing were delivered, it was determined that Mr. Bone had two upcoming weddings and that the property would would likely be held because he would not be able to cancel. So the city attorney did file action in district court requesting an injunction against the property owner from allowing those events to continue. And my understanding is those two events at that time, they were canceled or moved to a different location. Based upon the information provided to the city and the code requirement that an owner of a short-term rental must reside at the home as a primary residence for a minimum of 183 days per year, the city will be unable to approve any application for a short-term rental. The use as a reception center or a venue is not permitted or conditionally permitted in the zone and can also not be permitted. So the violation is a violation of 10-1-45, our residential short-term rental ordinance, which requires a short-term rental permit as well as a business license. And the standards for a short-term rental, as I stated before, is that the owner must live there for 138 days per calendar year and provide proof of residency there. The city is requesting an administrative code enforcement order, ordering the abatement of the violation and imposing a civil fine up to $100 per day. This has been an ongoing problem, and so we have asked for, I have to open up that. We are requesting a penalty of 5 days and $100 a day for a $500 total civil penalty.
Okay. So who's going to be speaking on behalf of the Bones? Not that you both can't, you can.
Yeah, and we probably both will, but okay. Since I spoke with Kurt, I spoke with him on the phone. And
I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to that statement of the allegations or the violation.
Well, as soon as we received notification, we canceled everything. And as for the short-term rental, Kurt and I discussed over the phone that he was a code officer and that he was called out to the home, and he called me and I asked if he had more information because we looked online and didn't see any information as to short-term rental. We were following the Davis County guidelines, and which means that you don't live there, that we were paying double in taxes because it is a rental. And so the North Salt Lake and Davis County guidelines kind of conflict. They don't appear to be in alignment. But this was new.
This isn't a tax issue, ma'am. This is a
I understand the violation, right? So, but the reason why I mentioned that is because it's just confusing to us as to how to operate it. So, but we do understand what has been said, and we did cancel everything immediately, and we apologize to Kurt. I think I asked him if he would email me the guidelines for a short-term rental. And they put an E in my email that didn't belong there, so I never got the email. And then he also mailed something to us, and we didn't know that. We do everything online, and so our mail, we check it once a month. And so he ended up serving us papers, to which we apologize because we would have gladly responded to the mail. We were looking for something, and because I didn't receive an email from him, I looked again online, and all that I could find was the business license application or the form, which we didn't know if we were supposed to pay $45 or $1,200 for a business license. So per my conversation with Kurt, I understood that we needed a business license. I didn't have any kind of conversation about a land use permit with him. So that was new information after we called Sherry in the office. And then Mackenzie, I've been talking with her more recently. So we're completely ready to comply with whatever guidelines they are. They're just a little bit not in alignment with Davis County. So that's all. is that a long answer?
I read the entire file. This was interesting to me because this is a very current issue with regard to Airbnbs. So you operate it as an Airbnb?
Well, it's Airbnb as a platform. So there's lots of platforms. I mean, I couldn't even – there's more than 10, you know. We have our preferences as to which platform we use, but we operate it as a short-term rental. And that is defined by 30 days or less, anything that is 30 days or less. So that's what we are doing. We're in a situation that can be our primary residence. So we're not saying, but that's new information to us. Even after I spoke with Kurt and I didn't receive the email, I contacted a lawyer to find out what the guidelines were if we were missing something and asked him what should we pay for a business license, because the Chevron is a refinery and they have to pay $1,000, but for a B&B it's like $1,200, but we're not a B&B, we're not zoned for a B&B, and there wasn't a place on the application that said short-term rental. It just had long-term rental options. So it was a little bit confusing, but even with the lawyer's research online, we both did not find any guidelines on short-term rentals. Since then, Sherry has directed me to a document that clears, you know, spells it out, and that's the part that's kind of in conflict with Davis County, so I'm working with McKenzie on that to make sure that we're compliant with whatever that is. As for multiple complaints, Kurt only contacted me that night. So if you, as North Salt Lake City, have received multiple complaints, we are unaware of any of that. We are in contact with our neighbors. They call us directly. We know that sometimes the police have been called out there. But as for North Salt Lake, the first notification that we've ever received was when Kurt talked to our house cleaner, and the house cleaner called us. And then Kurt called us after that. So we're completely transparent on this. We're not trying to, you know, do anything wrong.
Okay. Well, as I read the regs, you apparently have to make an application for a business permit, and then you also have to make an application for a short-term rental permit through the city.
Which wasn't clear to me.
I'm not here to advise you on how to go about it. I don't know whether the city will or will not approve that sort of thing. The issue before me is whether or not you've been operating the property in violation of the code. And that's the only issue with regard for me. And it looks to me like it's pretty clear you've operated it for wedding receptions and that sort of thing. I mean, I've read the file. I've listened to all the voicemails. I've watched your video. It doesn't sound like you contest that you are using it as a short-term rental. You just stopped once you got notice.
For sure. Okay. Yeah.
So the notice was, I noticed that, I don't know, was it Hannah or something? She kind of refused it.
Well, Hannah.
But you did receive notice.
Well, so that was, glad that he documented.
It really doesn't matter, but.
I know, but I'm glad he documented that.
You did receive notice, proper
Well,
notice.
Yeah, but when we were on the phone with Hannah, and he literally threw the papers in the door, and we wanted to talk to him. We didn't know why he was there, you know, and so. Yeah.
Okay. So is it your testimony then that after the date of the notice, 10/28, that's October 28th, that's just what?
After
today?
October 28th,
17th? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
After that date, you have not used it as a rental.
Right.
You haven't
canceled
had any
all
receptions.
The reservations. The cost of us $1,000, yeah.
So you moved whatever was scheduled to other locations.
Two weddings, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we didn't. We just canceled them.
Yeah.
We don't have another operation. So, yeah.
I'm sure they didn't appreciate that.
No, they didn't.
No.
Because one was the day off.
I can understand.
And honestly, I mean, weddings happen in homes. You know, we have a home that we could host our daughter's wedding in, you know. And I did do an ad saying, you know, if you, because of COVID, you know, we could host gatherings like that, but all those people weren't staying over for 3 days or whatever, you know, and we really screened them hard. But I will say that we understand that this was a much bigger issue for our neighbors because of COVID. There were, even our son, we had to go to Idaho to get him married because no one can find a venue anywhere. And so it's been really, you know, we were a little bit too nice in that, you know, a lot of people were literally begging and say, look, we're only going to have 25 people. And we screened heavily and they just, you know, didn't do what they said they would. Some of them, some of them were really very good. But it's the few that were not that kind of ruined it.
We were also very clear about the parking on the street. And the thing that I have a question about is that we interacted a few times with the police officers where we had some arrogant and, you know, errant tenants who held parties when they weren't allowed to hold parties, and they came to the house and we talked to them.
on a few different occasions. And up until that one time, were we ever informed that there was any kind of violation?
And it looks like this short-term rental application's been, the date on it is March of 2019.
And your application?
No. The information that's online now is from March of 2019.
You mean the date of the ordinance?
No, there's a they have a short-term rental application online now.
Whether or not when that was made available online?
I don't know when it was made available online because I've never seen it there. But the date on the document is March 19th of 19. But I didn't find it, and the lawyer didn't find it that we talked to. And so I'm not sure when it was uploaded. I asked
Mackenzie. It was uploaded in March of 2019. That's when I made the page. And if you or your attorney were looking for it and couldn't find it, you certainly could have found my phone number to call me.
Are you Sherry?
I am.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Okay.
But it was up. It has been there, and I've tested the website. You can type in short-term rental in the search box.
Well, I have, too, since we've spoken. Yeah, since we've spoken, I've typed in short-term rental North Salt Lake, and it shows up. But after I spoke with Kurt and I went online to see what, because he only explained that we needed a business license. He didn't say anything about a land permit. So I didn't find it in that search, and the lawyer didn't either. And I wasn't getting a lawyer to fight this in any way. I just wanted to know what he was talking about, what could we do to make this right. So it wasn't, we're not trying to fight this. All I can say is that Airbnb has been a great resource for our families. We've been able to, you can't do this in a hotel. You can't, if you're split up by 2 to 4 people in hotel rooms, you miss the nighttime games and the breakfast in the morning and all those things. And so Airbnb has been a really good community for, for families. Families are traveling more now than they ever have. We've got tourism. Even the police have said to us that we want you here. I mean, that's what they've said to us. And so we did not hear anything about the application before now. And we would have gladly done it then. So had you received multiple complaints to North Salt Lake City, we would have welcomed that. We would have, we were working with our neighbors. We were in communication with James across the street all the time, trying to make sure that everything was right. And if any time they were noisy, we literally got in the car and went straight there.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And there may be a lot of virtues to the Airbnb type rental scenario. I don't get to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
I have the obligation to enforce the code as written. Mm-hmm. And the code as written says it shall be a violation for any person to operate a short-term rental without first obtaining a short-term rental land use permit. You do not have one, as regulated by this section, and issued a valid short-term business license. And you do not have one.
Yeah, so we fear that we won't be approved for one, even if we follow the guidelines.
Well, I don't know if you will or if you won't, but I mean, someone else can read and interpret for ongoing purposes, whether or not you can meet the requirements for getting the licenses and the permit. But I find you are in violation of the code. It looks to me like I'll give the city an opportunity to respond. However, is there anything the city would like to say?
Thank you. Ms. Bone represented most of the information accurately and chronologically correct. The exception would be the amount of complaints I received outside of, and I don't know the person you told me.
Yeah, we would be interested in knowing who did call
I understand.
You. Yeah, because we'd
but
apologize.
I'm saying I had multiple complaints, but they are not listed in here.
Yeah.
But, yes, other parties complained, and they complained about thefts in the neighborhood and some other issues, which you could not control, and I understand that.
Yeah, and we do get the notifications
about
thefts.
Ma'am,
sorry.
We're gonna let
you in this issue, she did tell me on the phone conversation we had that she has complied with St. George Airbnb requirements, and she is familiar with that and was willing to comply with North Salt Lake's requirements. That's when I introduced her to Sherry and set that in motion to get her to get an application into Sherry. So we are moving forward at this time.
Okay.
Can I correct one thing?
Sure.
We don't have an Airbnb in St. George. We have a long-term rental where they require a
business license.
So that's what he's referring to, that we're used to purchasing a business license with St. George. So we were not opposed to doing that here. Yeah.
Does anyone reside at this property, at the property we're talking about?
Well, that's the part that is confusing to us. We have not been residing there because we've been using it as a short-term rental.
Mm-hmm.
We can reside there. It's really just a matter of an address. My husband and I, our kids are grown. We're in a great position that we could live in North Salt Lake or Draper. The part that is difficult is if you move all of your private belongings to a rental, you have risk of, you have to put them in a closet and lock them. There's less closet space available. We don't have two kitchens, so we're not interested in having a rental in the basement and living upstairs like some other short-term rentals because there's one kitchen. And
whether or not you comply with the statutes going forward and whether you establish residency there.
Yeah, so the residency is a question.
That will be part of your application to the city, and the city will review that.
Yeah, so can we just say that we can't really honestly say if anyone resides there right now because we're in a situation where we're having to decide on that.
Okay, unless either of you have anything additional to add, I'm prepared to rule. Okay, I find that you have been in violation, apparently on a number of occasions. But with regard to the notice of violation, I'd find that you were properly served. And there's substantial evidence with regard to what's been going on at the property, and it is in violation of the city code. What they've asked for in their proposed order is a fine. What is it here? Make sure I... There you go. They've asked for a fine of $500. The code provides for a penalty of $500 a day up to a certain threshold. You have testified, and unless Mr. Imig tells me there's any facts to the contrary, and I haven't heard any, you've testified that once you got the notice, you ceased using it as a rental as far as you terminated your existing engagements. Is it still being advertised and that sort of thing?
It's no longer being advertised. No.
Okay.
I've been trying to cancel a Facebook page, and for some reason it won't let me cancel it. But no one's ever communicated that way anyway. Yeah.
Okay. The notice and the statute, as I read it, and I'll pull it. Provides for a daily violation fee of $100 a day after expiration of a minimum 10-day compliance period. It sounds like within that 10-day compliance period, you complied. And I don't see anything in the record indicating you didn't. That 10-day period would have run November 7th from October 28th. You can tell me if I'm wrong off the top of my head.
That's correct.
I think it's November 7th. And you've testified that you didn't use it as a rental, short-term rental, after that period. So I'm going to find you in violation, and I'm going to order you to cease and desist using it as a short-term rental. You can make application and go through the proper procedures, and I don't know whether or not the city will approve it or whether you can meet the code. But I find that you're in violation. I order you to cease and desist, and I decline to impose a penalty because I don't find a violation subsequent to the 10-day period. I would normally, in this instance, especially, I'll just tell you real candidly, there was voicemails and recordings and notes with regard to conversations. And one of the notes in the conversations was, well, we'll just put up with the city's fine because the fine, it's more profitable to operate it, and we'll put up with the fine. I'm not finding that you did or didn't say that, or that is or wasn't your attitude. I'll tell you that would have suggested to me that a fine would have been appropriate. but I don't find that you're in violation. So I'm not going to impose a fine. So a cease and desist order and a state and a finding that you were in violation, and then no fine. And then if you are found in violation in the future, because this is a cease and desist order, it's like an abatement order. If you violate that cease and desist order, upon notice, the city can come in and seek fines, and I'll be available to hear that. Did you have a question?
Yeah, the comment is a little bit out of context in the fact that we were more concerned about the wedding and the couple, and so we thought that we would take the hit more and pay the fine so that they could still keep their wedding plans and invitations. It wasn't a defiant statement okay. as much as we felt bad for them.
Yeah, so. It's completely irrelevant, but I'll just tell you that's the sort of thing that cities have penalties to motivate people to comply.
Yeah.
And but there's no penalty in this case.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my ruling. We'll reflect that in a written ruling, and we'll give you the city will provide a copy of that ruling.
One question. How long is the cease and desist then until we're approved? Is that?
It's permanent. It's forever.
Permanent. Yeah.
Until you come, unless and until, but it's unless you comply with the city's code. The order is to cease and desist operating in violation of the code.
Right.
So that order will be in perpetuity. If you can comply with the code and get a permit and get a license and get the proper approvals from the city, then you still wouldn't be in violation of that order.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll close this matter.
Okay,
go off
thanks.
The record. Does that mean I have to put my mask back on?
Okay, on the draft order, I've added item 10 there on the screen.
I don't mind. Totally
you want me to print it and you can Crystal review it?
A Draper. We know that, Drive.
So want to review it on the screen?
I can review it on the screen.
I wish you well.
Thank you.
Tell me when you want me to.
Okay, well, the violations description is from the previous one. Up there, page 1. Violation description, the property was cited for violation after installation of a lighting source.
Oh.
Well, that's wrong. That lapse change.
Given
that they're no longer here, in these two instances, let's make sure. Will you go take the recording? This isn't part of the...